God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it is also shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Here the Apostle Paul is speaking about the doctrine of justification by faith. In Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that our eternal justification before God was wrought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as far as heaven is concerned, we are justified in the sight of God. However, there are times and moments in our own experience that we need to be and must be justified by faith, not to enjoy a home in heaven, but to enjoy peace and confidence in the Lord here in this world. Abraham was justified by faith because he believed the promises of God. The promise that God made to Abraham specifically is that he would have an heir, and that through that heir he would become the father of many nations, and ultimately that in his seed all the earth would be blessed. Whether Abraham realized it or not, Abraham was really being promised that the Messiah would come through him, and that through his seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the elect family of God would be blessed with eternal life and glory. I don't think Abraham recognized that in Genesis chapter 13 when God told Abraham that his children would be as the dust of the earth. Nor in Genesis 15 when God told him that his children would be as the stars in the sky. But I greatly suspect that by Genesis chapter 22, when God told him that his seed would be as the sand of the seashore, I think he began to understand that this was a greater promise than just a natural seed and a natural family that would be upon the earth. Because in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, we find a wonderful picture there of Abraham taking up his son by commandment of God to offer him up as a sacrifice. And there upon that mountain, God stood in the breach by providing a ram, which Abraham said God would provide himself a sacrifice, and he did. Believe there that day, Abraham rejoiced to see the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he was justified by faith. He believed God. He believed him in Genesis 13. He believed him in Genesis 15. And while he laughed at him in Genesis 17, there was still an aspect of Abraham who believed the Lord. And because he believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. So verse 16, it says, it is the faith that he believed. That it might be by grace, it wasn't by works that Abraham would do, but rather by a supernatural act of God. And Abraham, being 100 years old and said they would have a son, Abraham could not produce this by himself. God would have to intervene. And so even for you and I to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe the gospel message that Jesus has redeemed us from our sins and taken care of the greatest concern that we could ever have, being our eternal scripture say he touched her hand and the fever left her? And she rose and ministered unto them. Here is a lady that was very insignificant in this world. It's true that she's the Apostle Peter's mother-in-law, but at this point, Peter is not an apostle. He's not been called to that office yet. Just a few chapters before, Peter was nothing more than a lowly fisherman living in the region of Galilee, one of the most despised areas of the nation. A humble man with a humble career, living a very humble life. And yet, through his brother Andrew, he's acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, and he's called to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And he, as we know, forsook his nets along with Andrew, his brother, and also James and John, and they began to follow the Lord Jesus. Well, early in their discipleship, we find that the Lord Jesus is coming to the house of the Apostle Peter, and as they come into his home, Jesus sees Peter's mother-in-law sick of a fever. Mark's account of this in Mark chapter 1 says that they actually called the Lord Jesus Christ to the home because of her condition. When Jesus comes in to this lady, who most in Israel had no knowledge of, and certainly throughout the Roman Empire, she was so insignificant. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, she was one of his, and thus significant to him. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. She arose, and notice what she did. Upon the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ impacting her body, she rose up and ministered to them. That means she prepared for them as a woman naturally would, by way of hospitality and meal. And the Bible says, when the evil was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word, and healed all that were sick. So not only this day is Peter's mother-in-law blessed with the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, they bring many other that were possessed with devils, and also those that were sick. The Bible says he healed them all. And it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The Lord Jesus Christ's power is not diminished today. He still is able to bear his word. In the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew, he reached down shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I love that verse that God declares the end from the beginning. That tells me God knows how this whole story unfolds. Now, I'm just saying he's talking here to the children of Israel about their time of captivity in Babylon and how they would be delivered out of that. That's the immediate context. We can also apply that to human history itself, that God from the very beginning of time knew how the end of time would work out. And the right time Jesus would come to this world, and the last day Jesus would come back to this world and claim those that are his. We also can trust that God, who knew how to declare the end from the beginning for the judgment on Israel, and here from the beginning for human history and our salvation out of this world, we can also trust that he's able to declare the end from the beginning of our current circumstances. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient time, he says the things that are not yet done, say, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. He says, calling a ravenous bird from the east, specifically speaking of Cyrus, king of Persia, who would be lifted up by God. Later, God would call him his elect. The one chosen by God to deliver the children of Israel from Babylonian bondage. He has gone around his birth from the east, a man that has speak of my counsel from the far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Since he would call this man that would execute his counsel. In the case of delivering the children of Israel out of bondage, God chose a man. In the case of delivering our soul from hell to heaven, he chose a man that was his fellow, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of this world, the eternal Son of God. And there may be many men and women that God calls right now to deliver us from this current trial. But at the end of the day, we'll all have to say, God brought it to pass. God purposed it. And God will do it. I'm not here declaring that God has purposed this pandemic to enter into this world. I don't know if he did or he didn't. I know in times past, God has sent pestilence to the world to judge his people. That may be very well what's occurring here today, I don't know. But I do know this, that even when God has sent his justice and unforgiveness upon the people of the earth, they very quickly turned around in a way of mercy and compassion and to their aid and to their deliverance. So whether the pandemic itself is by the purpose of God, I cannot declare at this time, I don't know. And really, that part's immaterial. If we know that we've sinned against God and done wrong, we ought to confess that and beg his forgiveness and turn back to the Lord and serve him. But this is what I know he will do. He will purpose to deliver us. And he may deliver us from the sickness by not getting it. He may deliver us from the sickness if we are to get it and restore us back to hell. Or he may deliver us through the sickness from this world into the world to come. And I promise you this, my Lord, he will deliver his people. He's purposed it. He will also do it. So while I don't know the end right now, I can trust in God who does. And I'm going to rely upon him. I'm going to counsel with him and pray to him and beg for his help and beg for his mercy and beg for his guidance, not for my own self only, but also for all that I love, those also that are in authority, and those that are working diligently to deliver us from this time. And I ask all of God's people to call upon his name. One of the things that I've pondered about over the last few days, over 7 billion people in this world, I know many of them are children of God. Many of them don't know about the God that we know about. They said if they're born of the Spirit of God, there's something down within them that cries out, Abba, Father. And whether they believe in Allah, or whether they believe in the Hindu gods, whether they believe in the God of the Bible, they're children of God, and they're yearning out from their souls, I know this.
So even though there's not a healing power right now that we know about in a physical form of a drug or a vaccine, there's a healing power in glory. And we'll trust in that and have every confidence that our Lord in heaven will bless and guide us, help us, hopefully deliver us. So I encourage all of God's people to remember the promises of God, remember His faithfulness, remember His power, and remember His glory. Call upon His name. Trying to help us medically, those who are trying to help us financially, those who are trying to encourage us spiritually, those who are trying to relieve our minds by preaching the gospel, we beg you, Father, bless each and every one of them. And we trust when this is all done, and we can look back, we're going to see the high hand of our Maker and our Creator, and His delivering power. And we hope, Father, that moment that we will not be mindless. We'll be mindful. Come back together into the house of God. And declare, as you said in Isaiah, there's no God like our God. And that we'll be able to come together with shouts of praise, and hymns of glory, and speak of the triumph of God that we love and who loves us. We beg you, Father, for those that are currently sick, and especially those who are critical, please reach down your healing hand. We beg you, Father, that you would bless them to overcome. Father, for those who pass, not only from this illness but others, we beg you, Father, that a passing moment would be peaceful, that they would close their eyes in death without the fear of death, trusting that you will provide for them as they cross the other side. We beg you, Father, for those who have lost loved ones, for those who may, that you would please step in. Give them a heart that's reconciled, and let them know that the one that they love is now at peace with the Lord. For those who have the disease, trust that you'll provide for us no matter what our